Cats tuned to yesterday, broadcasting shows from the golden age of radio. Welcome to an hour of Westerns. I'm your host, Mark Levanger. Later on in the hour, it's Half Gun Will Travel from 1959. But right now, the episode Saddle, Sore Sal on Gunsmoke. The CBS broadcast first heard on March 24th, 1957.
Gunsmoke. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
I think that come from down there someplace, Mr. Dillon.
Well, let's take a look.
My golly, I don't know. There sure ain't no sign of nobody.
Now, that was in back of the Dodge House, between it and the livery stable. Come on.
It sounded like it. What in the thunder are they shooting at?
I don't know.
Well, it sure did sound like somebody yelled after that first shot.
Look, Chester, wait here and keep an eye on the street. I'm going to walk on toward the back of the livery stable, huh?
Well, all right, but you be careful back there in the dark now.
Oh, no. No call to get spooked. All right. Come on out of there. You hear me?
You go mind your own business. You better drift, mister. You buy more trouble than you can handle. Let go of me.
Give me that gun.
You got no right to...
When you throw a rifle on somebody, young lady, it'd scare them more if you close the breech block. And reload it, maybe, when it's a single shot.
Oh, darn single shot. I'd have got him hadn't been for that. That in the bad light.
Got who?
None of your goddamn business.
It might be. I'm the U.S. Marshal here in Dodge.
Marshal?
Chester.
I'm coming, Mr. Dillon.
How old are you, young lady?
Well, I've passed my teens.
You don't live around here, do you?
I wouldn't live up here if I owned it. I'm panhandle and proud of it.
Long way from home, aren't you?
Depends on what you call long.
What's your name?
Sally Burkoff, if it's any of your business.
My gracious, it's a girl. She done that shooting, did she?
Yeah, it looks that way. Who was it yelled when you fired that first shot, Sally?
Maybe it was me.
It was a man's voice.
God-darn single-shot rifle.
Who's with you? Who'd you come up from the panhandle with?
Nobody.
How'd you get here?
I rid my horse. How'd you think?
Where is it, in the stable?
I ain't got money for stables. He's bedded down back there under a tree.
With what? Did you bring hay along with you?
Some fell out through the fence there.
Fell out through the
fence. A horse that's been rode hard needs grain. Some grain fall out too, did it?
There's some left in the feed box over there.
Uh-huh. I see.
It probably draw damp and spoiled for a morning. The other horses in the corral had already ate.
When's the last time anything spilled out for you to eat, Sally?
It's my business.
You gonna tell me who it was you shot at?
No, I sure ain't.
All right, come on.
I ain't done nothing, Marshal.
Moss Grimmick owns the stable. He might disagree with you.
It was going to waste. Where are you taking me?
To feed you. Then we'll see about putting you up for the night.
Put me up where?
And the only place where I can be sure of finding you come morning. In jail.
Mm-hmm.
In the early days of World War II, an organization was born. An organization which offered benefits to all members of the United States Armed Forces. It was formally opened in April 1942 at Madison, Wisconsin, and called the Army Institute. Its mission was to provide educational opportunities for millions of American youths entering the armed forces. The response from servicemen and women was immediate and enthusiastic. Later that year, the facilities were made available to the Navy, and in February 1943, the name was changed to United States Armed Forces Institute. This was the first USAFI. Today, there is a bigger, improved USAFI with 5 branches in various areas of the world. But the mission is still the same. The number one client is still the United States serviceman, receiving an opportunity to develop power through knowledge with USAFI.
So, well, just tell me where.
At home, that's where.
Oh, well, that's different. At home.
My ma's too old and broke down for any other kind of work. She's a goddarn good cook when there's anything to cook.
Been kind of hard going, huh, Sully?
It's my business.
Yeah, I figured it would be. Well, here's your hotel, young lady.
It sure ain't much of a jail.
You been in better ones, have you?
I ain't never been in none before. Marshal, I don't want to go to jail.
Ah, come on. It's not as bad as it sounds. Just haven't got any other place to put you. Now, hello, Decker.
Marshal, I want to report a shooting.
That's him. Give me that gun.
You let go of that.
Ow! You hurt me.
Now, you sit down in that chair and you stay there. Here's your gun, Chester.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Dillon. She grabbed it before I knew
what she
left you.
Decker, what's all this about?
She tried to kill me. Now, you saw her do it. And that's the third time tonight. I was waiting here to tell you. First time was about an hour ago near the Dodge House.
Yeah, I know. Why is she trying to kill you?
Just crazy, I guess. How would I know why?
You know why, all right, you sneaking yeller dog.
Sit down, Sally.
He stole money from me and Ma. All we had, $600.
That ain't so.
Wait a minute, Decker. What happened, Sally?
He come up through the panhandle last fall fetching a trail herd from East Texas. Fine breeding stock, he said they was. And he sold me 100 head for $6 a head. $3 under the going price.
There, you see, nobody stole nothing from her.
Now, I remember that drive of yours last fall, Doctor. You started out with 2,500 head and didn't get here with more than about 400.
I just had some bad luck, was all.
Sure. Them cattle had the chokes, was all through the herd.
Cowpox, huh?
They was dying on him before he hit the panhandle. Only I didn't know it. And he seen a chance to unload 100 of them on me. They started dropping before he was gone 3 days. Last one died 2 weeks ago. When the chokes gets in a herd, they ain't nothing you can do.
That's one of the risks of the cattle business. You can't blame me for it.
You know they had it when you sold them to me.
I don't suppose you told her that, did you, Doctor?
Of course not. When a man's out to make a deal, he don't have to tell what he ain't asked.
Even when the buyer's a girl?
That was a legal sale. Now, whose side are you on, Marshal? I come here for protection.
You mean to have the girl locked up or run out of town, maybe?
I sure do.
All right, Decker, you've made your complaint. Now get out.
Well, now, wait a minute.
I said get out.
Marshal, I'm just going to hold you responsible for anything she does.
You'll do that fine.
Standing up for that little wildcat.
Sally, if I was to let you go, what would you do?
Have another try at shooting Clem Dyker.
That's what I thought.
Ain't likely to miss him 4 times in a row.
All right, Chester, take her back and get her settled in one of those cells.
Yes, sir.
What are you aiming to do with me, Marshal?
I don't know, Sally. I just don't know.
Well,
look worried about something.
Oh?
It's that young kid, Sally Burkoff, right?
Yeah. Kitty, I'll be darned if I know what to do about her.
Well, Matt, as far as the letter of the law goes...
Yeah, sure, let her stand trial. She's guilty of stealing from the livery stable. She's guilty of attempted murder. And she'll probably go to prison.
Well, she's young. Court might consider that.
Oh, she's had a raw deal, Kitty. You know, there are just three of them, her and her mother and an 8-year-old brother. They couldn't make a go of farming their place, so she thought she'd try running cattle on it. Losing that money wiped them out.
That Clem Dyker ought to be strung up.
Yeah, but like he says, the deal was perfectly legal.
Oh, Matt. Hey, you want to play some draw poker with me and Chester and Miles McTagg?
Oh, not tonight, Doc.
Why not tonight? I've been working all week on my bottom-of-the-deck deal and my up-the-sleeve holdout. I'm ready for you, Matt.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
Is he going to join us, Doc?
Nah, he says not. I think he's just sitting here worrying about that little Sally Burkoff. Well, I guess I don't blame him too much.
Well, you might as well sit in, Matthew. I'll likely lose to everybody at that kind of a day.
What do you mean?
You remember them ore concentrates, iron pyrites, the stuff I took in on account when the Black Hawk mine closed down?
Yeah, a couple of tons or so, wasn't it?
3 tons, and they allowed $150 for them. Figured they might run twice that in silver. Well, I got the assay report from Iola today.
What are they worth?
Less than $50. Wouldn't even pay to ship them to the smelter, so you better come get in on the game, Matthew. My day for losing.
Hey, wait a minute, Miles here. Just a minute. I'm getting a lovely idea here. Yes, lovely. Does anybody else know about that assay?
Well, not yet, Doc. Why?
How would you like to get your $150 back?
I have a due and proper respect for money.
Good, good. Are you willing to let any money over that go to a worthy cause?
If I get my $150, I won't even ask whether it's worthy.
What are you talking about, Doc?
Now, who could I get to help? You know, a sort of kindly swindler who could fool somebody good.
Now, look here, Doc.
There's just one person. Me. Matt, it couldn't work without me.
And I'm not sure what couldn't work, Doc, but from the look on your face, it's larceny.
Come on, Miles. We've got work to do.
Another visit with Joe and Daphne Forsythe.
Hey, honey, I'm home. Daphne.
Drop dead.
Uh-oh, what's the matter, honey?
Don't you speak to me, you Don Juan.
Don Juan? Daphne, I'm no Don Juan. No habla español.
Very funny. Ha, ha, ha.
Well, it was no prize winner, but...
Neither are you, you Lothario.
I've often wondered, what's a Lothario?
I don't know, but that's what the wives on TV always call their husbands. I guess it applies.
Do you want me to go out and come in again?
As far as I'm concerned, you can go for a long walk, preferably on a short pier.
Well, come on, Daphne, what's wrong?
Your good friend Harry called, and he spilled the beans.
Which beans?
He said, quote, "Tell Joe he was right about those blondes. They're great." Unquote.
Blondes?
That's what he said. Well?
He didn't say blondes. He said bonds. Savings bonds.
What?
Sure. I buy them on the payroll savings plan. And I told Harry he ought to do it, too. Savings bonds have a guaranteed interest that pays back $4 for every three, which is a pretty good investment.
That's a pretty good story, too.
It's true, so help me. That's why Harry's so happy. Savings bonds are great.
Well, maybe you're right. You wouldn't really fool around with blondes, would you? You're too faithful and sweet and kind and...
Fast talking.
Matt's had plenty of time all the way around, Mr. Dillon. I just don't reckon Doc's little Dido's gonna work.
Well, there's nothing certain in this world, Chester.
Doggone it. I sure wished it had, though. Do my heart good to see that low-down diker get here.
Are you gentlemen alone?
Well, come on in, Miles. Come on in.
Well, I'd never have believed it. I figured Doc and me ought to team up and do this every week or so.
Yeah, well, you do, and I'll jail both of you. How much?
You wouldn't loosen up, would you, Matthew? Maybe let me take out just a little profit.
You get $150. Now, let's have the rest of it.
Maybe, yeah. Well, there you are.
$820.
And I think he'd even have gone another 100 if I'd held out.
Oh, this is enough. And it gives her a couple of $100 extra to pay for her trouble.
Oh, he was hopping from one foot to the other. I never saw a man in my life with so much larceny in his soul.
Chester, go get Sally, will you?
Yes, sir.
He had three men in a wagon waiting outside. They started loading up the concentrates to haul away the minute he'd paid me. I told the clerk to wait till he got them all on the wagon before he gave him that assay report from Iola. I figured he ought to have it, seeing that he owns the concentrates now.
That was real generous of you, Miles.
Well, at least I got my 150 back. I think I'll kind of lay low for the rest of the day, Matthew. He's going to be madder than a hornet when he finds out.
Yeah, I expect he will. I'll see you later, Miles.
Yep. Right on in there, young lady. Go on.
What are you aiming to do, Marshal? You gonna turn me loose?
Well, that depends, Sally. I can't very well turn you loose and have you walk right out of here and start shooting at Clem Diker again, can I?
Then you might as well take me back to that cell.
Now, wait a minute, Sally. Suppose that you did kill him. It wouldn't get your money back, would it?
No, but it'd sure give me a deal of pleasure.
Now, suppose you had your $600 back with a couple of hundred to boot.
Fair chance of that ever happening.
Yeah, but suppose it did. Would you be willing to get on that horse of yours and hightail it back to the panhandle?
Marshal, you don't mean he's going to give that money back.
Yeah, here it is. All of it. And $220 besides.
You mean it's mine? I can take it?
You can take it. And get. And good luck to you.
Oh, well, I'll be so little gone.
Well, am I busting in on something?
No, come on in, Doc. Sally's just leaving to ride back to the panhandle.
The panhandle? Is that so, girl? Well, you be mighty careful. There's a lot of mighty desperate characters down that way.
Oh, don't you worry none about me.
Sally, you give my regards to your Ma and Billy.
Yes, sir, I will. And thank you, Marshal. Bye.
Goodbye.
Well, Matt, it was hook, line, and sinker. I never saw a man get taken in so easy in my life.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah, you know, I was born for that kind of a game. I may give up my practice and just start scheming my way through life.
That's a good idea, Doc. I hear that they need a doctor at state prison.
Oh. Marshal, I've been robbed by a pair of swindlers.
Oh? How did it happen, Doctor?
Well, you ask him how it happened. He's one of them. Him and that storekeeper, Miles McTagg. $970.
Why, Diker? Now, all I did was come and ask you to loan me $1,000.
Now, you talked like you'd found a good thing. Something you could buy cheap because the owner didn't know what it was worth. And then you let that phony assay report fall out of your pocket when you left.
Oh, why? Oh, now, that was just scribbling. It wasn't a real report.
I know that now. $900 a ton, it said. Why, them concentrates ain't worth $50. I just saw the real report after I'd bought the whole three tons.
Well, my. Well, you certainly did jump to a hasty conclusion, didn't you?
Marshal, Miles knew they was worthless when he sold them to me. And I want him arrested.
Did you ask him if he'd had them assayed, Decker?
Well, of course not. If I had, he'd have known. Well, he'd have known...
That you were trying to swindle him. And Doc, too, huh? I'm sorry, Decker. I don't see that you've got much of a case.
But he knew that I thought it... Well, he... I should have known I'd get no satisfaction here.
Well, it depends on whose ox is being gored, doesn't it?
I'm going over and talk to Judge Bent.
Yeah, you do that. Oh, and by the way, Diker, you can stop worrying about the girl. I, just ran her out of town.
I don't care if you... Wonder
how she'll make out down there in the panhandle.
Don't you worry, Chester. That kid'll make out wherever she is.
Mm-hmm. That old political character, Elijah Cuddlestone, was tremendously proud to be a part of the government of the United States. And that pride shows through in this excerpt of one of his speeches. And it is my sincere belief, I believe that the United States of America is without doubt, indisputably, the most successful experiment in democracy, that is, in democratic rule, that the world has ever known. Well, democracy, of course, means rule of the people. It's from the Greek, demos, people, and kratos, meaning rule, strength, or power. Most forms of government owe their names to the Greek. For instance, anarchy is from the Greek word anarchia, composed of an, meaning no, and archos, ruler. An anarchist wants no king, emperor, or president above him. An oligarchy is a form of government where a restricted few have supreme power. Oligarchy comes from the Greek oligos, meaning few, and archo, which means rule, rule by a few. The Greek word hieros meant holy, and the word hierarchy once meant a government by officers of the church. Hierarchy now represents a system of graded authority. And the strange word ochlocracy means mob rule. In Greek, oklos means crowd or mob. Words like these literally make politics Greek to most of us.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The script was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with editorial supervision by John Meston. The music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns were by Ray Kemper and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear as Chester, Howard McNear as Doc, and Georgia Ellis as Kitty. George Walsh speaking. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. Thank you.
Gunsmoke. On Tuned To yesterday from March 24, 1957 on CBS, that was an Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast. You're listening to an hour of Westerns on Tuned To yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now time for a radio script that was actually seen on the small screen first on Have Gun, Will Travel. It's Albert Allais' story, Killer's Widow, first seen on TV in March of 1958, and was repurposed for the radio series on February 8, 1959 on CBS. John Daner stars.
I came here to tell you I'm not an executioner. It doesn't feel good to kill a man. Not a bit good. But your husband didn't leave me any choice.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Sounds wonderful. And then, Mr. Paladin?
And then, perhaps a cordial for a nightcap.
I do believe I'll be looking forward to this evening a great deal, Mr. Paladin.
And I, too.
Mr. Paladin!
Oh, what?
I've been looking for you. I find you.
Hey, boy, your timing is abysmal.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Paladin, but credit must go to mailman. He just brings special delivery letter for you.
Excuse me, my dear.
What?
Oh, say, I'll meet you in the lounge later.
Well.
Oh, she in very high dungeon.
Dungeon?
Esau, that's what I say, very high dungeon.
Dear Mr. Paladin, I need you for an important assignment immediately, and so forth. There is a $3,000 bonus for you upon completion. Something. I appreciate you seeing you at your earliest convenience, so... Very truly yours, E.J. Randolph, Coloma Bank. Coloma.
Oh, you there not long ago, yes?
Yes, about 2 months ago.
Oh, yeah. Here are your two tickets for opera tonight.
I'll take them back, hey boy.
Yes. What?
I'm leaving for Coloma tonight.
Oh, must be real big trouble to interfere with lady who was almost kissed.
And wire Mr. Randolph. Tell him I'm on my way.
Dandruff bothers most men, most women too, so listen. Today you can get rid of embarrassing dandruff in just 3 minutes. Yes, with Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo. Unsightly dandruff's gone in 3 minutes. It's the quickest, easiest of all leading shampoos. That's not all. Using Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep embarrassing dandruff away. Simply apply in the unique Fitch manner. Before you wet hair, rub in 1 minute. This way, Fitch shampoo penetrates right down to the scalp. Next, add water. Lather 1 minute to wash every trace of dandruff out of your hair. Then rinse 1 minute. All that loosened dandruff goes down the drain. In 3 minutes with Fitch, one rubbing, one lathering, one rinsing, dandruff's gone. And never forget, gentle Fitch can also leave your hair up to 35% brighter. To get rid of dandruff problems forever, brighten hair too. Use Fitch regularly. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today. Only 59 cents.
Coloma was a poor excuse for a town. It sat alone and awkward in the center of a dry, scorched plain with a few ranches stretching back towards the low mesas behind it. I'd been there before and I killed a man there. I didn't like the town. I didn't like the people. But Randolph had offered me a lot of money. I found him sitting behind his desk at the bank.
Well, Paladin, sure good to see you.
Hello, Mr. Randolph.
Sit down.
Thank you.
How about a little rye to cut the dust, huh?
Yeah,
I don't mind.
Hey, didn't waste any time getting here.
And the distance between San Francisco and Coloma is shorter when there's a $3,000 fee involved.
Right to the point. That's what I like about you, Paladin. That's why I sent for you. Well, here's luck.
Thank you. So, what can I do for you, Mr. Randolph?
You did a job for John Griffin about 2 months ago. He hired you to bring back Steve Morrow. Remember him?
You don't forget someone you've killed.
Didn't mean any offense.
No, I'm not offended. Morrow tried to kill me. I had to kill him. Griffin wanted Morrow because Morrow had killed his son. What's that got to do with you?
Morrow robbed this bank before he killed that Griffin boy. He took $30,000.
I still don't see the connection.
Paladin, I've got to have that $30,000 back by the first of the month or I'll lose everything I own.
And you need help.
Yes. Yes, I need help. Badly. 15 years of hard work, building a business and a name for myself, gone, just like that. Gone and signed over to John Griffin.
John Griffin? How does he figure in this?
He's the biggest depositor the bank has. He knows about the stolen money, and he's using that knowledge. He's given me notice that he wants to withdraw $30,000 on the first. If I don't have it, the deed to this building and most of the other property the bank owns will be signed over to him. And I don't have it, Mr. Paladin.
Well, then, that makes my job fairly easy.
Well, how's that?
Find Morrow's widow. She must have the money, or at least know where it is.
I don't think so. She's still living in that cabin up there on the mesa. Well, the sheriff and I have been up a dozen times searching the place, trying to talk her into telling us where it is. She hasn't got the money. If she had it, she'd have left Coloma and gone someplace else to spend it. Either that or at least paid up the back taxes on the farm.
Huh. I thought for sure Rose had that money.
Rose?
Steve Morrow's widow.
You mean Lucy Morrow. Her name's Lucy.
Oh. I'm going to check into the hotel and freshen up a bit.
And then what?
Ride out and talk to Lucy Morrow. Morning, Mr. Randolph.
Yes?
Good afternoon, Ms. Morrow. I'm Paladin.
Did you think I could forget you, Mr. Paladin?
No, I suppose not. I'd like to talk to you, if I may.
I'm going to work on the Rose Garden. You can talk there if you wish.
Yes, I noticed them as I rode up. They're beautiful.
They are. It's an eastern variety, Calinaris.
Oh. Must be rather difficult to grow them out here.
Oh, it's worth the trouble to have one lovely thing here. They were a present from Steve. He brought me some cuttings after one of his trips back east.
Why have you stayed on here?
Simple. There's nowhere else to go and no money to go with.
Your husband took $30,000 from the Coloma Bank. It's never been found.
This house was turned inside out. Do you think I'd be living here like this if I had $30,000?
Perhaps not.
I don't know anything about that money, Mr. Paladin.
I don't mean to bother you, Mrs. Morrow.
Why do you bother me, then? You knew this before you came out here.
I killed Steve. If it hadn't been me, it would have been somebody else, somewhere else. He was an outlaw, a killer. I suppose I wanted to come here and tell you that I'm not an executioner. I was bringing him in, and he went for his gun. Doesn't feel good to kill a man. Not a bit good.
I know you're not the kind to kill for the sake of another notch on your gun, but Steve was my husband. Please don't come back here again. Or if you have to, wait until I'm gone.
You're leaving?
Yes. They're auctioning the place for $276 back taxes. Oh, don't look so pained. I'll get along. Maybe it'll be best. Get out of here, Paladin. Leave me alone, please.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Morrow.
I'm a mean widow, kid.
And are you pleased with yourself?
Sure, because I'm a germ. A bathroom germ. Bathrooms is where the meanest germs get to live. Do I have fun causing odor and spreading disease?
Well, you better watch out, son, or your landlady may find out about Lysol brand disinfectant.
Lysol?
No, Lysol.
That's what I said. Lysol.
Well, anyway, a lot of women are finding that a dash of Lysol in their cleaning suds every week wipes out nasty bathroom disease germs like you. Disinfects from one cleaning to the next as no other product can. Wipes out many deadly viruses, too. Lysol makes every cleaner work better. It's the easy, modern way to get bathrooms really clean and free of odors.
Lysol can do that?
And what's more, now besides regular Lysol, there's a new sweet-smelling pine-scented Lysol, and they're both out to get you.
Hey, was you ever a mean widow, kid?
One more remark like that, and I'll open this bottle of Lysol.
Help!
The Griffin Ranch was the same as it had been. Old and solid and well-kept. Run by a man who was old and solid and tough. A man who had lost one son by Steve Morrow's gun and had one son left. A man who could not forget or forgive.
Well, you look about the same, Paladin. Come on in, set a spell.
I'd just as soon sit out here in the fresh air, Mr. Griffin.
Fine, fine. What brings you back to these parts?
$30,000.
Stolen money, eh? A lot of people like to get their hands on that. You ought to have a pretty good idea where it might be.
Why do you say that?
Well, you were the last person to be with that murdering fool. The way I had it figured, Morrow had the money with him when you killed him. I hear you've been living pretty high on the hog up in San Francisco.
Those are harsh words, Griffin.
Oh, now, now, don't get itchy. I was just only joshing. You wouldn't be back here if you had it.
Steve Morrow didn't have that money when I found him. And according to his wife, he didn't even have it when he left the farm.
Oh, you talked to her?
I just came from there.
Well, it takes a lot of nerve for a man to go up and talk to the wife of somebody he killed. Hey, you suppose Steve Morrow hid it on that farm of his?
Mr. Randolph and the sheriff searched it.
I know. Old Randolph's getting fidgety. A while back, he got the idea that Morrow buried the money up on the mesa. You never saw such digging and poking around. I swear the mesa's 10 feet shorter on account of it.
That farm adjoins your property, doesn't it?
Yeah. On the south. Why?
I hear it's up for auction. Should be worth at least a couple of $1,000 to you.
I'll get it for $276, taxes.
Someone will outbid you at that price.
I don't reckon so, Paladin. Nobody else is going to bid on it. Those who can afford to bid on it don't have any use for that farm.
Randolph might have use for it.
Ah, that old pussyfoot. He wouldn't know how to plant potatoes.
He might know how to dig for stolen money.
Hey, tell me something, Paladin. You working for Randolph?
Maybe. Maybe not.
You are working for him. I might have known. You know, I just assume the money doesn't get back to the bank.
Oh?
I'd lose about $60,000 in holdings that belong to it. Those holdings will be mine come the first of the month. Oh, that's not a pretty way to talk, but at least it's the truth.
I see. What happens to Randolph, then?
Out in the cold where he deserves to be. If I ran my ranch like he runs that bank, I'd have been out of business a long time ago.
Well, getting close to sundown, I think I'll be heading back to town.
No, Paladin, I hate to see a man like you working on the dark side of the fence. I thought you always roamed the green fields.
Which are the green fields, Griffin?
Mine are.
By the way, you buy that farm just for the taxes. Steve Morrow's widow won't get a cent.
Well, now, ain't that a downright shame?
She didn't kill your son, Griffin.
No, but her husband did. And all I hope is that his kin are gonna suffer on account of it. That's how I feel about Morrow and her.
Come in.
Paladin?
Well, Mr. Randolph.
You make it a habit, staying up this late?
I do my best thinking when the town's settled for the night.
You've covered a lot of ground today. Getting discouraged?
Did you come here to discourage me?
Yeah, there's a lot of territory between Coloma and the Mesa. Morrow could have hidden that money anywhere.
Not without telling his wife.
Now, since when does a killer stop to worry about his wife?
Randolph, whatever you want to say about Morrow, he loved his wife. He'd have wanted to make sure she was provided for him. Why, he even spoke about her when he was dying. His last words were, "Rose, tell her that..." Wait a minute. Tell her?
What are you talking about?
Randolph, that money's up there on the farm.
You mean she does have it?
She doesn't know it, but it's there.
Where is it, then? Why, we've torn that place apart.
You just didn't dig in the right spot. I'm going up there now and get your money. You wait here.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
And I'll be digging by 2.
Now there's a luxury car that fits regular parking spaces and ordinary garages that's easy to handle in traffic. It's America's compact luxury car, the Ambassador by Rambler. Now, medium-priced car buyers can have the room, comfort, luxury, and performance they expect in a fine car, but without excessive length, width, and bulk. If other medium-priced cars have sized and priced you out of the market, then you owe it to yourself to test our best, American Motors' finest, the luxuriously compact Ambassador. Note the quality construction and careful attention to detail. Thrill to the superbly responsive 270-horsepower V8 engine. Enjoy luxury features like individually adjustable front seats that glide back and forth separately. 5 minutes at the wheel of an Ambassador will change your ideas about luxury cars. Test our best, the Ambassador V8 by Rambler. Finest car ever priced so close to the lowest. See, drive the luxurious Ambassador now at Rambler dealers.
When I dismounted at Lucy Morrow's, I thought I heard a horse nicker in a nearby clump of cottonwoods. I waited, but all was quiet except for the wind through the trees. Lucy Morrow was a light sleeper. She answered my second knock.
What do you want?
Put the shotgun down, Miss Morrow.
What are you doing here this time of night?
The money. It's here on the farm.
We've been through that before, Paladin. They ripped my place apart. Every floorboard, every inch of this cabin, the yard's full of holes. You saw it this afternoon.
I know, Mrs. Morrow, but...
The money isn't here. Look, this is my last night in the only home I ever had, and I don't mean to be bothered.
Mrs. Morrow...
Now get away from here before I blast that shirt right off your back.
You wouldn't have to leave tomorrow if I find the money.
I'm not wasting any more words with you.
Mrs. Morrow, in your rose garden, is there a bush not doing well?
Paladin, it's late and it's cold.
Answer me, is there?
Well, yes, there is one, but what's that got to do with the money?
Flowers need soil at their roots, Ms. Morrow, not gold.
What?
You get me a shovel, I'll show you what I mean. You know, it took me a while to figure out that a dying man wouldn't call his wife Rose. Her name was Lucy. Hold the lamp a little closer. I think we've got it. Now. Yeah, this is it. A leather bag from the Coloma Bank.
We'll open it.
Yeah.
Gold coins.
$30,000 worth.
Here in the Rose Garden all the time.
Drop that. Raise your hand.
What?
Come on. Do what I say. Good. Now just stand steady. All right, Cleet. Let's move in. Keep that light high, woman, so as we can see you both.
Lucy.
Yes?
When I say the word, throw that lamp at them high, eye level, then hit the ground fast. I'll say when.
All right.
Now.
No more! Don't shoot again!
Just stand easy, mister.
You shot him. You shot my boy.
I didn't have much choice.
Cleet. Cleet, boy. You hurt bad.
I'll be all right, Paul.
I'll get you for this, Paladin.
Don't try anything foolish, Mr. Griffin. You're already in enough trouble.
I'm in trouble.
Trying to hijack stolen money. Trespassing, attempted murder.
Paladin, there's someone coming.
Yeah, I heard him. I think it's Randolph.
Randolph?
He knew I was coming out here. He probably couldn't stand waiting in town. After all, the money belongs to his bank.
Paladin! Paladin, you all right?
Yes, we're all right. We're over here, Mr. Randolph.
Well, what happened? What was all the shooting?
Well, there was a little discussion as to who was going to get that bank's money. I won.
You mean you have the money? You found it, all of it?
I think so. Here.
Oh, good. Good, that's it right enough.
Now, in regards to my fee, Mr. Randolph.
Yes?
I want you to give it to Lucy.
What?
Lucy?
I think a woman ought to be able to keep her home if she wants to. At the auction tomorrow, you can decide whether you want to stay or leave this charming town.
Thank you, Paladin.
As for you, Griffin, get your boy back to your own ranch and bandage that leg of his. I don't think Lucy Morrow cares one way or the other what happens to you. Mr. Randolph wants to bring charges later. That's up to him. As for myself, I'm saying goodbye to Coloma for the last time.
Oh, you are back, Mr. Paladin.
And ready to see the city bright and shining?
Oh, best you go away 2-3 more days, maybe.
Why should I?
Her.
Who?
Her lady over there. He very unhappy when you will not take her to the opera.
Well, didn't you explain it was business?
Oh, yes, sir.
Important business?
Yes, sir, but her business more important to her, I think, Mr. Paladin. He maybe kill you, huh?
I hope not. Well, the best way is the direct way. Excuse me.
Hmm? Oh.
I hope you missed me. You did miss me. Oh. I have no other cheek to turn.
Then kindly turn yourself around and leave me alone.
Well, I can hardly do that. You see, I've thought of nothing and no one but you all this time.
Really?
Really.
Am I to believe?
You are to believe only that which will make you feel better and me feel better and both of us enjoy a lovely evening together. That, to me, would be a simple solution.
So?
Dinner?
Well,
please.
You are a very convincing man.
The current issue of TV Radio Mirror has a feature story on the man who portrays Paladin every Sunday night on CBS Radio, Mr. John Daner. Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Albert Alley and adapted for radio by John Dawson. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Eleanor Tannen, and Joseph Kearns. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
Have Gun, Will Travel on Tuned 2 yesterday, an episode from February 8, 1959 on CBS. And so closes this hour of Westerns on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the Golden Age of Radio. And until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.